Insight on Business the NewsHour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. Focusandfind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. I am sitting across the table from a dear old friend. His name is Wade Burkhart. He is a real estate agent, an associate broker, as a matter of fact, with Realty One Group Impact. That's Realty One Impact here in the greater Des Moines metro. And he also happens to be the president of the Iowa JCI Senate. And we're going to talk about both of those things with Wade here in just a moment. Wade, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're with us again today.
Hey, Mike, it's great to see you. It's been a long time since you've helped me through some of the different marketing plans that I've had coming up over the years.
Yeah, we reached out and talked about that a bit, what trials and tribulations there are when it comes to marketing anything, you know? And, you know, you're in the real estate business, which is, well, it's been challenging.
Yes, it's been challenging over the last couple of years for the simple fact that we've had way more buyers than we've had sellers, for the simple fact that interest rates being so low and rents being so high, it made it just more affordable to be in a home than rent. Also,
right.
Too, a lot of businesses have moved from being in an office to being remote.
Yes.
So my number one question has been, how is the internet connection at a house?
Yeah. Absolutely, and that makes the difference for lots of things. And right now, of course, the interest rate continues to be high for home buying. The 10-year T-note yield yesterday was up again. I think it 4.24%, I think it was.
Well, and to counteract that, you have to look at your apartment rent has gone up roughly 8 to 10% over the last 5 years.
Exactly.
So anything that's $200,000 and down has been like gold still
this
point.
Those are what we would call starter homes, aren't they?
Yes. Very much starter homes for anybody that's over 18, actually. And also, a lot of people that are already moved on with their family and need to get rid of the 5-bedroom, they're wanting to go back down to 2 bedrooms, 1 bath.
But one of the things that's imperiling all of this is that if I'm in a mortgage with a low interest rate, even though I have that 5-bedroom home, and what am I going to do, sell that and then get into another higher-priced home, maybe smaller, but an interest rate of 6.5% or 7%?
Well, that's always an option, but a lot of times people still have so much that they owe on their current mortgage. If it's a 30-year note and you got it when you're 35, you know, you may still have half of it left. So if you sell the house and you take the proceeds from
right.
it and you
buy
can buy the small house and not have any payments and put that mortgage payment in your pocket
there
and
you
live.
Go. See, spoken as a true real estate person. and that really is part and parcel of what you have to do, is to educate buyers and sellers to the positiveness of moving those houses, yeah?
Yes, very much so, because you have to find the right house for the people and the right reason for somebody to sell a house.
So, final question about real estate. One of the things that always is concerning to me is when individuals think that they can do a better job selling it on their own. That is just a place that is rife with all kinds of pitfalls. I mean, if you're selling your house and you think you know everything about, no, you don't.
And
there's so much going on.
No, the thing about residential home sales, it's an emotional sale.
It is.
You are tied into the house. You grew up your kids there. You did everything with your family there. But there are well over 89 decisions you have to make between buying and selling your home. The easiest thing you can do is sign a purchase agreement. After that is when the work becomes harder and harder to do.
There was a recent story that we covered about a capping some of the rates that realtors have, and also about a disclosure statement that promises buyers and sellers who you're working for and what you're doing. How is that going to impact your world?
Well, as of Wednesday's update last week, the situation is we are now required to sit down and meet with the buyers, explain the process, have them sign a buyer's agency agreement, so that way they are locked into you to go represent them. And then even currently, we're still under the old regulations and things at the moment, but you could always negotiate everything. Everything was always negotiable. So, you know, we can negotiate with sellers. We can still negotiate with buyers. A lot of lenders are trying to build in the commission that is paid to the buyer's agent to help get things rolling, because these young people that are buying houses in the under 200, where are they going to come up with the ability to pay for the buyer has the right to go directly to the listing agent and write an offer, but if I'm the listing agent, I'm representing the buyer.
Correct.
I am going to err on the buyer's side.
Right, and that has to be disclosed early on, right?
Well, when you're the listing agent, you are disclosed because you have the sign in the yard and everything. But if you're the buyer's agent, you have to disclose that to the listing agent and everything else too. Yeah.
So I think, first blush, you're in the business, I'm not. But I think this helps level the playing field a little bit.
It helped level the playing field a little bit, but in Iowa, you were not tied to a buyer's agent so much because you could go around and look. Now you have to sit down with a buyer's agent. You have to sign agency. You have to show that you have the ability to buy a house.
Got it. Interesting stuff, and it all revolves around money, of course.
Yes. Which is money is the root of everything.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I want to switch gears here for just a moment and talk about what you and I had a long conversation about the other day, and that was the Iowa JCI Senate. Now, you're going to have to explain what that is, what JCI stands for, and let's just take it from the top. What is all this?
Okay, JCI is Junior Chamber International, and it is a leadership training organization from 21 to 40. There are several chapters here in the metro area: Ames, Nevada, Des Moines. Des Moines is actually the oldest chapter in the state of Iowa, well over 100 years old. It is a basically it's leadership training. We train through community projects, we train through individual development, we also teach people how to stand up and talk in front of people.
Right.
Just like right now, we're doing this for a lot of people. The other main thing that we do, and it's kind of a hidden talent, is problem solving. We try to teach problem solving through mentoring with the older JCs like myself, who are over 40, which is not my favorite thing to talk about.
Right.
But again, we sit there and help them in a variety of ways by mentoring them, providing speakers, providing training, and we also have a foundation. So if you had a grant application for your city or community, you send it in to us. If we approve it, we send you money.
Right, there you go.
And then we have scholarships.
Exactly. So what at the very, and let me just be totally transparent with this. I learned more through the Junior Chamber of Commerce than I did in college. And
absolutely.
Yeah, truly, truly. The Junior Chamber of Commerce, when I was a young man, I was first in the Illinois Junior Chamber, and then I moved to Iowa, and I became active in the Iowa Junior Chamber of Commerce. And that experience taught me so much about project management, about the ability to get up in front of people and have a dialogue and have communication, how to speak effectively. The opportunities that I've had meeting Ronald Reagan, for example, at the White House, and all of those fantastic trips that we took. And then I was able to serve as president of the Iowa Junior Chamber of Commerce, and then went on to serve as chaplain for the United States Junior Chamber of Commerce. And it was all of those experiences long ago are still with me today. And it's just stuff you do not forget. And it is so important for young people, men and women, to find some type of an organization that can actually help mold them for the future.
Correct. And the other thing is, you've developed friendships from over 30 years ago that, like right now, I could go to Algona and have coffee or lunch with some friends, or Sioux City or Fort Madison. Our old friend Andy Andrews down there is older than we are in this organization, and there's so many friendships. And then I've developed friendships in other states and across the nation.
So Iowa JCI Senate is kind of, if I have this correct, is kind of a step above the junior chamber of commerce.
Right, right.
Because you cannot be a member of the Senate without being nominated and approved, and then you get a number.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, bring the money. So there you go. But no, one out of 1,000 people end up being a senator.
Yeah.
1 out of 1,000. So it's a very rare group of people, and we're a very, very close-knit group. We had a winter meeting about a year and a half ago in New Orleans, and 44 of us from Iowa went and hosted that meeting in New Orleans. And for us to transport all these bodies down there, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Thrilling.
So as long as we're talking about numbers, I will share my number because I was awarded a JCI Senate long ago, and it's number 34506.
Yep.
And your number, sir?
My number is 63877.
I got a couple thousand on you.
And currently they're in the 82s.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have a big thing coming up with the Iowa JCI Senate.
Yes. We're hosting a meeting here in Des Moines for the Region 6 JCI Senate regional meeting, which includes Minnesota, Wisconsin, North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and the wonderful great state of Missouri.
Yes. Show me. And these individuals from these states will converge in Des Moines for a couple of days, starting when?
Starting next weekend after this one, the 19th and the 20th and the 21st. We have the national president, Hal Williams, coming in from Florida. We got people coming, all the people that are running for office, national office, are going to be coming in. Susan Hatcher, who is the current past state president, chairman of the board, is coming in from Missouri up from there. We have well over 130 people coming from all sorts of states to be in attendance for this wonderful meeting. Dave Teachout is our national MVP. He is from Missouri. He is from Sykeston, Missouri.
Sykeston Boot Hill Rodeo.
Boot Hill Rodeo, and you know a little bit about that.
I do.
And so it's his meeting. I'm there as kind of help host and do things, and we'll still have got the list of people that are going to do things. We've probably got 30 or 40 Iowa senators that are going to be helping with the various functions and things of this whole meeting.
It's remarkable. And where is the meeting being held?
The meeting is being held at the Holiday Inn on Merle Hay Road, basically on the old Merle Hay Auto Mile. It's a couple of bad golf shots off 3580.
Yes, it is. It is. Right at the junction of Merle Hay Road and 3580.
Yeah.
What do you expect to accomplish at this meeting? What's the plan?
Well, the plan for this meeting is that we have a memorial service at 9 o'clock to honor our members that have passed
away.
That's
on Saturday.
Saturday morning, yes. And that will last a half an hour. And then we go into the meeting from roughly 9 to 11:30. We have a person by the name of Dan Badger, an Iowa senator. He is running for the NVP spot, National Vice President spot, for next year for our region, and we have to support him as well as other people. He is well-liked in the region. Everybody loves him, and we're in great shape for our
for
region
that
for
election.
Next year.
One name that we have not yet mentioned and whom I know will be there was the former mayor of Norwalk, I believe it is.
Yeah, Newton Standridge.
Newton Standridge, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't know that name, you should. Newton has been forever involved in the Iowa JCI.
Yeah, he helps with the manors, the directories. He is has virtually an answer for everything. And I proverbially call him Uncle Newty in that way because he always gives me great counsel inside my ear of what we need to do.
Yeah, he and Carol have long been members. And back in the day when they were Junior Chamber of Commerce members, they were extremely active.
Yes.
And I can hearken back to when we, at the Iowa JCs, the Iowa Junior Chamber of Commerce, had an office and an executive director, which was in
Newton,
Iowa. Yeah, Newton Standards, Newton, Iowa.
There's an old joke to that we'll tell later sometime.
Yeah, he and John Banaj was our executive director at the time, who now lives in San Antonio, and I'm in regular contact with him now 30, 40 years later. So,
And the other executive director, Jim Michaels.
I remember Jim, sure.
And he's
Oklahoma?
He's down in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And so I am in contact with him. So we as JC senators, talk to our friends all across the globe.
All across the country. Yeah. It really is amazing. Wade Burkhart, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. We're talking now about the Iowa Junior Chamber International Senate and an upcoming meeting 19, 20, and 21 here in the greater Des Moines metro. Who can come to this?
Well, senators can come, of course. We do have alumni JCs that come. Spouses or significant others are highly encouraged to be there because, you know, they're the backbone of us being able to be senators and do things. We also have, coming up at this meeting too, we have we're collecting toiletries for Camp Sunnyside. So trial size toothpaste, anything in that line. We're having people bring those in so that we can give these to Camp Sunnyside for their campers for the year.
Got it. We did
the same thing for Camp Courageous out in Monticello, and then we have canned food drives and things going on. So we're always active in our communities.
Wade Burkhart, number 63877, as a senator for the Iowa JCI Senate. What do you get to do? I mean, as the president of what do you do? I imagine there's recruitment, retention, all kinds of issues that face.
The thing that I face mostly is answering questions. I have a chapter nearby that asks about senatorships and how they do them because they have a whole new board. They don't know, and I was more than willing to go up to Nevada and explain how things work. I've explained things with Des Moines. I've explained things with Ames. Had sat down with them. We had senators go help Nevada with the rodeo, and we had senators go up and help Spencer, Iowa, with the Clay County Fair because they needed help in their kitchen.
Right.
So we're here
to
help
stuff.
And serve. Yes,
yeah.
We're busy.
One of the things I think people might be interested in is, I believe it was 1982 or 83, that that Iowa was one of the first states to, it was out of Cedar Rapids, I think it was, if
yes,
my memory
was.
Corrects. That it used to be a divided organization.
Yes.
And Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that. You must be a public accommodation. And because there was Iowa JC men and Iowa JC women.
JCS.
Yeah, JCS. And the court said, no, you can't do that. And so I was one of the first states to welcome women into membership in the early 80s.
And a good friend of ours, Diane Casto, who you remember,
of course.
She was president of the JCS and she was president of the JCs and also the Senate. So she is an outstanding lady and my great fortune to be able to call her a friend.
Yeah, that was quite an event, as I recall, because women were excluded from the male side of this. And then when that happened, it was... In some points, it was a good thing, and in other places, it was not so good, because what we saw was a severe decline in membership in the following years.
Yes. Yeah, and basically, the growth of the membership was in the metro areas.
Yes.
The decline was more rural because, basically, and again, it comes back down to money, if both parents could be at the meeting, who's watching the kids?
Right.
Who's babysitting the kids?
Well, that and the fact that at that time, I want to say we had 236 chapters in the state of Iowa,
yes.
About 15, 16,000 members on the male side, and then another 12,000 or so on the female side. And you would think that commingling that would have been a big blossoming effect, but in turn, it went the other way,
went the other
sadly.
Way.
Sadly. Mm-hmm. But on the good point, and once again, Wade, just highlight how important it is for young people, 18 to 40. Is that right? No.
21.
21 to 40. That's yeah. Right. I was able to rooster out, is what they call it, twice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it used to be 38.
Yes.
Was the cutoff period. And then they said, oh, no, we're going to make it to 40. So I was out of the JCs, and then I was back in for two more years. Highlight once again what this can mean for the development of a young person today.
Well, the important thing that we offer is that you have the ability to meet other people in various different places. You can go around various parts of the state, meet other people like you and I. You know, if we'd never been in JCs, we'd never known each other right. ever, probably. And that would have been to my deficit, not yours. So it's a great thing for young people to get out and socialize and intermingle. A lot of the people that I know, men and women that were in JCs, ended up getting married, and yep. virtually most of them are still married today. The kids are gone. I've listed a house last week for a lady and her husband, who I both know through the JCs, and it's just a great opportunity for them to learn how to speak to each other and get all, you know, the phones are a wonderful thing. Cell phones are wonderful, but to deal with people across all age groups, you're going to have to learn how to talk and do that.
Absolutely.
Plus, we train and everything else and community service and projects.
The community. We used to talk about this as being a three-legged stool.
Yes.
Individual development, community development, and I forget what the third leg was.
ID.
Individual development.
Yes.
Community development and...
Oh,
yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. We're old.
Yeah. Anyway, but there are three main factors to all of this that is so very important, and we would certainly recommend this.
Well,
yes.
And the other thing, like when you sit there and you start watching 10 outstanding young individuals across the nation, the JC started at Outstanding Young Farmer, which has been taken over by Deere. Deere was one of our original sponsors, and that particular program started in Iowa. We have so many things that we have developed in JCs over the decades, like Seti Am said, Clive After Five, and all this money that we raise for all these charities or that we raise in these projects all went to charity. I mean, Nolan Plazin was fixed three or four times. The old science center got a fire sprinkler system in it, or the fire marshal was going to shut it down. So, I mean, we helped our community. MDA was a big thing.
Muscular Dystrophy Association.
You know,
yeah.
Easter Seals, March Dimes. So anybody that had a thing going on, we had a project for it.
Millions of dollars have been raised across the United States for all of these projects, and it is it's a real treasure. I'm not going to leave right away because I want to say one other name that we've not mentioned. I know he abhors meetings.
Yes, he does.
But Mark Kino,
yes.
who is a farmer.
Yes. And I call him kind of like a forensic accountant or things, because he has taken our membership physically and is trying to track everybody down that we can't find. And unfortunately, he's come up with several obituaries, and it's not fun. But again, he has found them and moved on. Right now, he occasionally drives chickens to the airport to go on planes to farmers. So I find that humorous. He is an outstanding, brilliant man. And again, if it wasn't for JCs, I'd never know him.
And he's very involved in regenerative agriculture.
Yes.
Very involved in organic stuff. He's a master farmer, and we couldn't leave him out of this discussion.
Nope.
Wade Burkhart, thanks so very much for spending time with us and talking not only about the real estate business, but also the Iowa JCI Senate. You're having a meeting 19, 20, and 21 in Des Moines. If you are affiliated with the JCs in any capacity, you are invited to stop by. And we will have links to all of this up on the radio blog. So thank you.
And remember, 63877 is my number, and yours is 34506, because that's how we have to end our speeches.
Just a couple of guys sitting around at a coffee shop talking about real estate and the Iowa Junior Chamber of Commerce and the Iowa JCI Senate. If you want to learn more about the upcoming event in Des Moines, you can reach Wade at wadeburkhart@gmail.com. That's B-U-R-K-H-A-R-T. Or if you're looking for a great realtor, his cell phone number is 515-770-3895. What a wonderful experience to sit down and visit with Wade about a great organization for training of young people all over the world. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for listening. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Wade Burkhart, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe. Be well. Be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.